TV time machine, TV time machine, woo! TV time machine, TV time machine, TV time machine, TV time machine.
It's just such a creepy scene, you know? It's like, we don't give this scene enough credit. And we were alive when this movie was made. So I'd like to, you know, give credit where credit's due.
Yeah. What's funny is the first time I saw Silence of the Lambs, I was disappointed by it because my cousin told me that all this stuff happens that doesn't happen, that like things that are discussed but aren't actually shown.
Interesting.
He talked about them as if they were things that happened in the movie. So I was like, wait, where was this scene? Where was that scene? No.
He was probably talking about things that happened in the book, that wise guy.
No, because there's scenes where, yeah, I don't even want to go into it, but there's stuff that was that he discussed that's talked about that Buffalo Bill does, but we don't actually see him do it, you know.
Oh, well, great film.
Way
ahead of its time.
I watch it annually.
1991. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, and those who are non-binary as well, all kinds of people, to the TV Time Machine podcast. I am Luis.
And I'm Adam.
And we love TV.
We love TV.
Getting closer. Getting closer.
Almost there.
I like how that's a trope of ours. Welcome to another show. We are disciplining ourselves, Adam and I, to be consistent, but also giving ourselves time crunches. Yeah. Ah, I love that. To record within an hour.
Is ready to sleep already.
That's adorable. So welcome to another taping of the midday episode. Adam, how's life treating you? Hey. The joys from recording at home with children, right?
Yeah.
No worries. We were just listening to some Buffalo Bill. No big deal. How are things?
Good.
Things are going good. Well.
Getting the COVID out.
Getting it out of your system.
Yeah.
Would you say COVID is the arch of New York? What was that?
Getting lymphatic massages.
Oh, that's what I need. I need someone to just fuck my back up in the best of ways, you know? Just stand on it, tap dance, fucking, what is that, Irish jig?
The
Lord of the Dance, just go for it, man. I need it. My current partner's not good at it at all. I hate to call him out, but man, cannot rub a back to save his life. But of course, he'll let me rub his back for hours. Yeah.
You gotta get some massage tools.
Yeah, but when it comes to him, it's not strong like you. It's all good. Would you say that COVID is the new arch nemesis of humanity?
Yeah, it's definitely like the new terrorism, you know.
I think it wanted to be more of an arch nemesis, but it came short. It was kind of like the what was the guy that got sliced in half in The Last Jedi? Snoke?
Uh-huh.
Trying to be just as bad as like the Spanish flu, but he sliced that shit right in half. Bam. Bam. You know?
Cut it out.
I'm fully vaccinated. And it feels weird. Adam, you probably have antibodies for days.
Yeah. Yep.
But I brought up the arch nemesis thing because we're doing an episode on most memorable villains, and this is going to be fun because I know we could talk for hours about this, but we have an hour. So we have a general article from Rolling Stone, 40 greatest TV villains of all time. And then I wrote down my five favorite as well.
Yeah, I got a bunch too.
I guess when I'm looking at this list, I was trying to figure out who is the most universal when you look at them and you go, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I felt like that list had a lot of newer villains on it. And it was hard to find lists of older villains, you know,
because Wilson Frist.
Because villains, you know, like shows with villains, that was like a rarity.
Oh, like, yeah.
Most shows were dramas, had to do with relationships or family or, you know, not things where there's really a villain at play. So it's more, it was more of a rarity back in the day, but we still had some really good villains. Some more notable ones like Tony Soprano, which I don't know if a lot of people saw him as a villain.
He's a kind of, protagonist, he's like Walter, antagonist, you know?
Yeah, he's like Walter White, where people are like, oh, I like him. And it's like, he's the bad guy.
It's funny that you mentioned that.
I'm going to sell meth to people.
It's funny because Tony Soprano, as much as we loved and hated him at the same time,
yeah,
they definitely played with our emotions on feeling for him, right? Even though he was a complete fucking psychopath. No conscience whatsoever. On multiple levels, no morality.
Yeah.
Cheated on Carmela like it was going out of style.
Yeah. Well, I mean, his own mom put a hit out on
him. Yeah. Right? Family.
So, I mean, that's what he comes from.
I love the episode where they do the intervention with is it Michael? Whatever, what you call its character was. Not Michael. You know who I mean. The other lead.
Yeah, my producer. Impaliari? Impaliari?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was his name?
Michael Impaliari. Yeah, yeah.
Forgot his name. Anyway,
I couldn't remember. Yeah.
Intervention scene was great.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, I think you're right. I think it's a newer trope. Villains in television are a newer thing. I would say the last 30 years they started to become a thing, and now they're all the rage. Now if you have a good villain in your show,
yep,
forget about it. I think of Joffrey from Game of Thrones. Oh my God. Talk about someone that you love to hate. This psychotic boy king.
I've actually never seen Game of Thrones other than the first episode.
Wow. I'm not sure we can continue this show. No, actually, I'm half and half with Game of Thrones. I liked the first couple of seasons. It did a really bad nosedive like the last few seasons. And then
because they went off book, right?
Well, there was no books to go off of. Crazy George couldn't keep up.
Well, they should have, and they could have stretched out. Because there were entire storylines from books that they ignored.
They could have totally done
that. So they could have taken their time getting to, like, waiting for the next book, you know, sort of thing. And been, you know, they just rushed through everything.
If The Hobbit could do 3 movies, they totally could have done.
Exactly. Exactly.
So let's get into some of these off the list, and then we'll go.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like the majority of villains from back in the day were in cartoons.
Yeah, there was always a cartoon villain, like the Spike. Was it Spike or Cobra?
Inspector
Gadget.
For G.I. Joe, you mean?
No, remember Inspector Gadget?
Claw. Dr. Claw.
Yeah. And we always theorized that it was the captain because at the end his lips would sync up with what Claw was saying.
Yeah.
I'll get you next time, Gadget.
Yeah, yeah.
Next time. But he was the clumsiest, stupidest villain ever. He always, for all the like the technological advances he had, all his shit would always fuck up.
Yeah, yeah.
He would scurry off in his like airplane and scream, I'll get you. I suck.
Yeah, yeah. Even though he was based on Brando's Godfather.
I'll get you next time.
You know, he's got the cat. He's got the cat. Yeah. So he's like
so disrespectful. Kilgrave, Jessica Jones, Ace from Girls. I don't remember.
Man, I I did not know the majority of the shows on that list.
Girls? I barely remember Ace being in that show. Downton Abbey, Thomas Barrow, I've heard, is pretty much a badass. But again, Downton Abbey is not something I sit around with the girls on Sunday and watch.
I saw a little bit of it when I lived in New York. Very little bit of it. My mother-in-law was super into it. And so I happened to catch it a few times at her house. But
let's sit around and eat some beef Wellington.
Yeah. I thought that's what it was going to be. What it's supposed to be is it's a period piece of Upstairs Downstairs. Have you ever seen that show?
Yeah, PBS.
It's like the servants. It's like the rich people and their servants.
Yeah.
So it's the same show as that, but set back in time. So it's like all the stuff the servants deal with and all the petty stuff that the rich people deal with or whatever, you know, like
you peasants.
And
go and wipe the silver.
/ the murders they cover up, you know.
Would you give me some?
I need you to dig a hole for me, Joffrey.
Tea and crumpets.
I killed my cousin. I mean,
the British are, the television is weird. And they drink beer warm. I love England, though. I do. Don't get me wrong. For all my English listeners out there, I got your back.
Yeah, so I wonder. I gotta tell my friend Nick, who was good friends with my old band's drummer, because he studied for, you saw us play, yes, Sensei?
Yeah.
In like Brooklyn or Manhattan.
I saw you guys get into your boxers and pour a beer all over yourselves.
That was just me, but.
Oh, okay. I was like, wow, he's really going for it. I want to pour a beer to myself now. And then I wanted to strip down and do it, but I thought it'd be weird because I'm the audience.
Yeah.
No, you guys are great.
Other people might have done it too, you know. You might have started something.
The energy.
Yeah, exactly.
Off the charts.
Thanks. So he studied in England for a while, and Nick would come and visit, and I feel like Nick went on a winter tour with us or something one time.
I met this missionary couple's brother came to see them graduate missionary school. His name was Luke. He was my age, and he was English. And oh God, what a gorgeous kid. I was so distracted by how gorgeous he was. I was like 17, and he was just asking me so many questions about America, and I was asking him so many questions about England. Yeah. He's a British lad that got away. Anyway,
he skipped back across the pond.
Yeah, he left. He launched across the pond.
Like a stone.
Skip like a stone from my heart. I'm doing all kinds of weird accents. Not English. The one-armed man from The Fugitive, the TV.
Oh, show. Yeah. That's a great villain.
Everyone knows him.
Well, and the marshal that's after The Fugitive, after Dr. Kimball. You know?
Yeah, what was his name? U.S. Marshal Sam whatever. God, I need to get better at this.
Yeah, because the thing with that is he knows that Richard Kimball isn't guilty, but he also knows the public perception is that Richard Kimball's guilty.
Right.
So he's like, I'm just going to go with the public perception, get this guy, and then everybody thinks we got the killer. Like
Samuel Gerard.
I look like I did my job, whether I did it or not, you know? It almost like shows how law enforcement will just take the path of least resistance.
Hell yeah. Right? But I mean, it's Samuel Gerard was always kind of like on the good end too, because the way Tommy Lee Jones portrayed him, he got the Oscar for that in 90.
It was amazing.
Yeah, and then he reprised that role in U.S. Marshals in 98.
He's like,
that wasn't that good.
He hadn't even been acting that long, right? When he did
I mean, he did like Nashville and some couple of old like 70s, but he was not
a main character. I feel like he had done mostly bit parts in some TV shows here and there. And then the year he did Fugitive, he did like two or three projects the same year, and Fugitive ended up blowing up.
I just can't believe that that movie got so much acclaim for being a, it was a, I think three times now they've made that, they've adapted it from the old to the TV show to the movie. And the movie went on to get Best Picture nomination and Best Actor nomination and win for Tommy. And then they did one with Tim Daly on CBS. And that one was really good too. So yeah, great villain there.
Yeah, I might be wrong about this, but I'm pretty sure The Fugitive was an independent film.
The Fugitive? Oh, also?
Or if it wasn't an independent film, the studio didn't really believe in the project and gave him like a $5 million budget to work with.
Andrew Davis, the director?
Yeah, and he stole most of that film. Like what I mean, like, you know how there's the scene at the Boston, the St. Patrick's Day Parade in Boston?
Oh, yeah.
They stole all that.
What do you mean they stole
the footage? They had no permits. It was a cameraman and Harrison Ford and the director, like, on an earpiece to the cameraman, to the operator. And that was it.
93.
They got a small... I think they shot those scenes digitally. They had like a small digital camera that they could just like hide easily, you know, and they just stole all those shots where there's like hundreds of thousands of people, you know.
Hey. So
they just stole all those. And then the train sequence, which everybody, that's the big sequence, right? That one and him diving, doing the swan dive, but the train, they bought that train for $20,000. It was a train that didn't work. And it was a locomotive with like one or two cars that they got for $20,000, but it didn't run. But they just pushed it. They just put some trucks behind it and pushed it. And they then like sped up the footage of it, you know, coming. But
that was groundbreaking back then. Holy shit.
So they filmed that huge sequence, that entire sequence with like the truck and everything cost like under $100,000 to do.
Yeah, that was groundbreaking back then.
Which is like, yeah, that's like unheard of.
The Yellow King from True Detective season one was pretty horrifying.
I still haven't seen that show.
It's really
My brothers still tell me.
Like, oh, God. It's a mix of philosophy.
Not that many episodes.
Drugs, violence.
Yeah.
The cigarette-smoking man from The X-Files, I hated him.
Yep. And that's a great villain when you, like, really hate them.
Hated him.
This guy.
Gus Fring is made number 7 on this list from Breaking Bad. He was pretty terrifying.
He was number 1 on almost every list I saw.
He's number 7 on this.
And I feel like he kind of deserves that number 1 or number 2 slot because...
Yeah. He was so the...
Such a career-changing role.
Oh, hell yeah.
For Giancarlo.
Giancarlo Esposito. Not only did he horrify by being super calm, especially when he was like slicing people up, but he was also very curious. I think Walt really fascinated his character. He was fascinated and really, really equally terrified of Walt. I think he was scared of Walt, but he never showed it.
Yeah.
Bam, bam. So what made the... So Joffrey's on here is number 4. Livia Soprano, Tony's mom, made the list at number 3. She was evil, wasn't she?
Yeah.
She was evil.
Kill Tony.
Then she had her her brother did it. Try to kill Tony, too. He said he was having a dementia episode. But he... No. Were you a Lost fan? Because Benjamin from Lost made...
I only ever saw the first season.
Oh.
I've kind of always intended to watch it just because, I don't know. I feel like I still every once in a while see references to it, you know?
I always got, you know, pun intended,
like lost Dharma and stuff like that.
Watching that show, I just couldn't keep up with all the clues and the.
It's just, I thought it was amazing. When I finally watched it, it was when I was doing direct care and I was working overnight, and the other person I was working with brought the box set to work, and they were like, and I was like, I've never seen that, and they're like, you've never seen Lost? I was like, yeah, I don't watch TV. TV sucks, you know. And they were like, oh, I think this might change your mind.
The irony.
And the first episode, I was just like, this is so cinematic.
Yeah, you know? Well, the pilot was the most, I think, one of the most expensive produced ever.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was epic.
Yeah. Was that Joss Whedon?
J.J. Abrams.
Oh, it was J.J. Abrams. That's right.
Good old J.J. saved the day.
Yeah. He's like, I make a killer opening, but the ending, who cares?
He knows how to revive franchises. He does not know how to end shit. Look what he did to Star Wars. Don't even get me started on Mike Skywalker.
Star Trek.
I know. Well, Star Trek, I think he did worse with Star Wars. I mean, that's like...
Yeah, of course, of course. People were much more forgiving with Star Trek.
Yeah.
But there's been way more Star Trek movies, so it's easier to be forgiving when, you know...
Fuck.
There's a new franchise every
once in a while. God damn it.
Speaking of, the Borg are one of the best bad guy, I think, from TV.
The Borg, Lacretus Borg, Picard... Mm-hmm. Was one of the better ones because he was the Borg, you never really saw any hint of Picard there. It's like he completely changed and it was fucking scary.
Yeah.
And he's still to this day getting messed with. They hinted at it in Picard and they hinted at it in the amazing movie based on the Borg, First Contact.
Oh man.
Ooh, man, that was Die Hard in space on an Enterprise ship. Good movie.
Facts on that movie too.
They hold up. It's Industrial Light and Magic.
Up.
And Worf hand fighting on the side outside and during the spacewalk, and that blood that floats in the gravity.
Yeah.
Good shit.
Man. That is a great one.
We need to take our first break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about our personal five. I have my five, my list right here. I'm so proud of it. Ooh. Wrote them down on the TV Time Machine podcast. Most memorable villains. Ooh,
actually, time.
That sounds like a ghost. I don't know that. All right. I'll be right back.
All right. Walt, I've said it before. If you are in danger, we go to the police.
No, I don't want to hear about the police.
I do not say that lightly. I know what it could do to this family, but if it's the only real choice we have, if it's either that or you getting shot when you open your front door,
you're
not some hardened criminal, Walt. You are in over your head. No. That's what we tell them, and that's the truth.
No, it's not the truth.
Of course it is. School teacher, cancer, desperate for money.
Okay, we're done here.
Roped into working, unable to even quit. You told me that yourself, Walt. Jesus, what was I thinking? Walt, please, let's both of us stop trying to justify this whole thing and admit you're in danger.
Who are you talking to right now? Who is it you think you see? Do you know how much I make a year? I mean, even if I told you, you wouldn't believe it. Do you know what would happen if I suddenly decided to stop going into work? A business big enough that it could be listed on the NASDAQ goes belly up. Disappears. It ceases to exist without me. No, you clearly don't know who you're talking to, so let me clue you in. I am not in danger, Skyler. I am the danger. A guy opens his door and gets shot, and you think that of me? No. I am the one who knocks.
Anyway, it's disturbing that we're getting so much joy from that song. It's such such a disturbing part of the movie.
Oh, man. I called my mom yesterday and she was jamming out to Prince.
Aw, your mom, that sounds adorable.
My mom's so cool.
Welcome back to the TV Time Machine podcast. Most memorable villains episode. 10 episodes deep, Adam, since February.
Yep.
Pre-production for the next feature. I gotta say something. I've got to say, there's been a couple of little snide remarks from so-called people in my film circle about keeping things close to the chest, as opposed to, like, obviously, I used to have a terrible habit of, like, getting pumped on a project, getting super far in, even starting projects, and then it never comes to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was thinking about it. That shit happens all the time, even with huge projects that have tons of money behind it.
Yeah.
They don't pan out. And
what who's the Manchester by the Sea director?
I'm not sure.
He did a film with some Oscar winner.
Never happened.
It was in editing hell for like 3 or 4 years.
Oh, that's so
shit. There was like 4 different versions of the movie. and then I don't think it ever came out.
Yeah. What I'm going to say is be supportive of your friends. Don't remind them of what didn't happen. Focus on the things that did happen. You know, focus on the little contents you're making every day and praise that. And don't be like, oh man, your last feature film. I'm very aware my last feature film didn't happen yet. It's still on, I don't know how many hard drives, but I did have the experience of going to LA and shoot. I did have the experience of rounding up a ton of really good extras. And it's all in the timing. So I'm super excited about our next project. We'll be balanced with how we roll this out because you want to keep things close to the chest. You don't want to, you know what? Like, just fucking, if you're not doing anything or contributing to society, shut your mouth. It's really easy. Really easy. My friend sent me a meme.
Yeah.
My friend sent me a meme of a guy doing this and said, it said, shh, let people enjoy things. Because at the end of the day, if people are able to enjoy things and they're happy, you don't need to be on the sidelines making any commentary. Ask how you can help. Maybe you have a location they could use.
Yeah.
But be very careful about.
Yeah, maybe it's just from a place of jealousy.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Or a place of, I don't know where it's from. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. I'm excited that we have an hour out of our day to create a podcast and talk about television and then put it on Spotify where God knows who's listening to it.
Yeah.
Jesus, people, let's remember, like, we have a lot of cool things going for us. So just, like, maybe do your own shit. Let people, you know, let the artists work, and then the past is the past. This is not 2013. Yeah. It's 2021.
And art begets art. Like,
exactly.
No matter what you're making, if you're making stuff all the time, then you're making stuff all the time, and then you just have more energy to make stuff.
Exactly. Anyway, rant over. Oh, what was that?
Somebody dropped a glass in the kitchen.
So we have about 20 minutes. Let's talk about our 5 top most memorable villains of all time. Should we popcorn it or go in order? Let's popcorn.
You want to go from your least to your favorite?
Yeah, 5 to 1.
We'll do, yeah. We'll both do our fives and then.
And maybe we'll do ours and then maybe 3 sentences as to why, so we don't veer. So go ahead and start with your number 5.
My number 5 is Newman from Seinfeld.
Oh yeah, what a bastard! What a bastard!
Yeah, he's just a great character too, right? He's very. Yeah. He's very three-dimensional, but
kind of lovable.
But
do we ever find out the origin of him and Jerry's feud? We never do. Something happened that they never talk about.
I don't think we do.
Interesting.
It's just there, right? It's just like ongoing at the point we meet. Seinfeld doesn't explain a lot of things.
No, they don't. They just kind of, it's very tongue-in-cheek and very run and gun.
Yeah. You just have to know from the setups.
Yeah. My number 5 is the governor from The Walking Dead. What a piece of shit that guy was, huh? I mean, not only did he kill or responsible for the death of Herschel, I believe, which was one of my favorite characters. Mm-hmm. But those series of events led to the death of Beth, Herschel's daughter. And that's when I raged quit The Walking Dead. As much as I love that show, when they killed Beth.
That's when you were done.
I was done. I raged quit. Like, nope. I've never done. I don't usually do that. I think I did that with Dexter. I rage quit Dexter when they shot Torres, when they killed Captain Torres. I was done with that too. All right, your number four.
My number four is Senator Clay Davis from The Wire.
Oh yeah.
He's the senator who, like, they found out he was getting like these duffel bags of cash. And like,
son of a bitch.
They tried to investigate him. They tried to put a wiretap on him, but he yeah, got it shut down.
Cash and duffel bags.
Who is it?
No, cash and duffel bags.
Cash and duffel bags.
I pronounce duffel. Okay, it's my number four now, right?
Yes.
Oh, my number four is Tony Soprano.
That's a good one.
Because not only did he toy with your internal emotions, it made you wonder why you were rooting for someone so horrific. On so many levels, he's such a bastard. But he's kind of got a woozy, you know, fuzzy, kind of gooey center that you kind of just want to lay in his arms a little bit. You know, he's a big old massive god of, like, not god, but he's like very powerful.
Yeah.
What about yours?
My number three is also a serious bastard. Peter Griffin from Family Guy. That guy is the bad guy of the show. Like, it's centered around him, but he's such an asshole to his wife, to his kids, to his dog, to everybody, his friends, like
narcissist.
He's a narcissist and a serious one. And it was funny when I didn't have kids, but once I started having kids and stuff, I was just like, I don't like this guy. This guy's a dick.
Yeah,
he Walter White'd himself.
He totally did. He was never someone that's really, you know, you're right. I don't really like Peter. I never really.
No, he's not lovable. He's lovable for like 5 seconds. And then the longer you watch him, the more he's just like, he does horrible things, you know? Like, doesn't he sell Meg at some point or something like that?
He does awful things. He's into all kinds of illegal activities.
Yeah.
He's a glutton.
Yeah. But he's just like, yeah, he's so abusive towards his family. Yeah. He's so abusive towards his family.
Yeah. Wow, I never thought about that.
I feel like it's like a metaphor that, like, the American dad is just an abusive
prick who's never around.
Yeah, an abusive bastard. Like,
his kids are all fucked up. God damn, dude, that's a really good insight. My number three are the Cylons from every concoction of Battlestar Galactica. So the Cylons in the remake, that I forgot his name, Roger D. Moore, and the really romantic ones from the 1970s. They're just like, just take like not so smart robots that are just bloodthirsty and mercilessless, but they also think that they're hot shit. They're more of a fear factor, like, you know, larger than life in the original, and in the remake they're more human-like, but both concoctions are so full of themselves. Not to mention bloodthirsty. That's a deadly combination, Adam. Deadly. What's your number two?
Yeah, I need to dive into that show.
Oh my god, it is
so my number two is Wyndham Earl from Twin Peaks.
Oh, yeah.
Wyndham Earl was the one who played games with people. He was like, you know, he was the quintessential, like, serial killer, you know? Like, sending letters to the cops and stuff like that, which is like, Jack the Ripper did that.
Zodiac.
Who else did that? Did Dahmer do that?
Zodiac Killer did that.
Zodiac Killer did that, yeah. But there was somebody else too. But, you know, he's like a combination of a bunch of different serial killers. And what is that actor? I can't think of his name, but he just plays him so well.
What's the name of that character? We'll look it up.
Wyndham Earl.
Question, does the Twin Peaks remake or sequel continue when the last one left off?
So not where it left off, but where it shows where the characters have gone in the 20 years since.
Wyndham Earl, played by Kenneth Welsh.
Kenneth Welsh.
He died on March 26, 1989. Wow.
Yeah, he was not part of, obviously. But they didn't. So Frank Silva was also, well, let's do your number two then.
Yeah, number two is King Joffrey from Game of Thrones. So just take, so all the Game of Thrones purists are going to hate me if I don't get this right. So I wanna appease them, because you never know who we might run into. I don't wanna get any details wrong, because they'll have me slayed like, I can't even remember the names at this point. but he was a compelling bad guy. He, the boy king who bedeviled House Stark was a living embodiment of George R. R. Martin's furious fantasy revisionism. If you're a rich man with a good family name, you can get away with literally anything. So in this case, he is the inbred bastard child of his mom and her brother. So that's kind of alluded to why he's so psychotic. Mm-hmm. But this little guy,
and nepotism.
In his case, yeah. In his case, this included torture, murder, sexual assault, the beheading of the show's main character in the pilot.
Oh yes, yeah, I remember.
And generally being a sneery little shit.
That's the only episode I've seen. I've seen it twice.
And when him and actually the actor Jack Gleason did a whole essay on celebrity, and when the show was canceled, he left Hollywood.
Yeah, wasn't that his first role also?
First and last, yeah. I think he did some things as a child, but he was not impressed with the fans, not impressed with Hollywood, left. Mm-hmm. But I will say him and Peter Dinklage's scenes together are the stuff of magic. And this little fuck... his character gets it in the worst way. Oh, it's so amazing. Anyway, you're number one.
My number one is Bob/Leland Palmer from Twin Peaks.
Oh, yeah, Bob. So, Bob was an alien, creepy, psychotic
devil. He was like the demon. Oh. So the way Bob came about, too, was that Frank Silva, who was a set dresser, he accidentally was... Because you know how it is on set, like people crouch into weird places and stuff. Like people are always just off camera, right? And especially props guys and set dressers, for some reason, like us and the sound guy are always like right outside the frame, either to be a fake shelf that someone takes something off of or whatever, you know. But so Bob was crouched down behind like the bed, but his reflection was caught in the mirror. Ugh. And he had and Lynch saw it on the monitor. And he was like, let's do another take, but Frank, let's have you make an evil face. And the character was born out of that. And then, so he was like the evil spirit that haunted Twin Peaks and like inhabited different people to get them to do his bidding.
My son was just telling me how much he hates mirrors. He hates my bathroom because there's dual mirrors. So when you look down one, it looks like there's several.
Yeah.
So he's probably, yeah. Hates it. He says that he could swear there's beings inside of it.
Maybe he's like,
I probably shouldn't have showed him Gremlins over the weekend too. Not the best idea, but whatever.
Maybe his past life was like back in like the 1700s or something, when mirrors were covered, like constantly covered and stuff like that, because people were afraid of things coming out of them. Yeah.
Yikes. Poor Eli. He's got his dad's imagination, and your imagination is your worst enemy when you're 10. So my number one villain of all time, Sir Walter White from Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah.
Reasons being, he doesn't start out as a villain. He literally starts out as the most amazing protagonist ever. If you were to write for a textbook protagonist, it's someone that you care about, that has a goal that's very clear and has obstacles the whole way. But in this case, the obstacles the whole way turn him into one of the biggest supervillains.
Yeah.
And it taps into something that we never saw.
How anyone can become a monster.
Well, that too, but also it tapped into this kind of neuroses and abuse of society and what it did to him when he was a protagonist. This kind of like constant being reminded of failure, not being able to provide sociology aspect of it. Mm-hmm. It really brought out the worst in him, and it really reminds me of King Lear in a lot of ways too, where the protagonist becomes just a disgusting antagonist, and by the end of it you're just like mortified that you ever felt with this character. And I literally remember the episode when I was like, fuck this guy, I fucking hate you.
Oh yes.
And it was when he let Jesse's girlfriend die in front of him. Mm-hmm. I think we
may have covered that on saddest TV moments.
Yeah, we did. But
we didn't cover it from the angle of how evil Walt was. So
how evil and how it was so shocking, because it reminds you of how easy it is to be a fucking piece of shit. It literally takes seconds to be a shit face.
And in action can make you
not acting
can make you
in action can make you a piece of shit.
An evil monster.
Oh God. If you have not seen Breaking Bad, by all means, please. It's something you have to watch in order.
It's one of those shows that doesn't disappoint when you get to the final episode. The final episode is so satisfying.
Yeah, and then there's a follow-up show that I recommend. Here's the sequence of this show. I veered off, and I was yelling at you for veering off. Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, El Camino, Better Call Saul. That's how you should watch that. Anyway, you're number one, and then we have to wrap up.
I did my number one. Something happened where we traded places.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't.
Oh no, it's fine. Yeah.
Oh, so we got our number five.
We both did our fives. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, for those that were listening, if you want to look at a complete list of our number fives, we're going to place it on our TikTok. Adam is going to keep ghost hunting and hopefully not awaken the spirit of some really vengeful ghosts and haunt us. But if the vengeful ghost is like an ex-filmmaker or producer and wants to bless our next, not only our current feature that's in editing, but our next one that's in pre-production, by all means, unearth that ghost.
Please.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us on our 10th episode. Adam, any final thoughts?
Honorable mentions.
Honorable mentions. Yeah, we can do some honorable mentions. I can think of
Simon Cowell from American Idol.
Hillary from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Ooh.
She was nice.
Mr. Burns from The Simpsons.
Yeah. The Achmonics from Alf.
Ooh.
Quasi villains, right?
Yeah. Sue Sylvester from Glee.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was the coach, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So mean, mean spirited. I would have to say, who else is kind of a quasi kind of not so nice villain. Oh, Don Draper, for sure.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Ask your sister. I don't have any.
So cute.
It's like, do you have some lipstick? I'm like, I don't have a lipstick. Oh, I got one. Endora from Bewitched.
Pandora.
Samantha's mom. She was always trying to meddle with her and Darren.
Well, now we have Avika Harkness.
Yes.
WandaVision. Mm-hmm. Who really fuck things up for them.
Yeah.
It was Avika all along. I love that. Oh, man.
She's definitely an Endora type.
WandaVision was so good. Anyway, from the TV Time Machine podcast, I'm Luis.
And I'm Adam.
We love
TV. And we love TV.
Thank you. And join us next time.
We'll see you then. Are we here? Yeah.
Bye. I'll text you.